I want to follow up on some things the Lord's been speaking to me. Last week, Rob DeMattis taught us and said that the Lord had given him a word for this year. Remember, every year we say, ask the Lord to give you a word for this year. My word for this year is chesed. C-H-E-S-E-D. It's the Hebrew word that is most often translated as loving kindness, 176 times. In the Old Testament, it's translated as loving kindness. But it literally means kindness and goodness and mercy. It's translated a few times as mercy, but it's one of the words translated as mercy. It's not the most often used word. The most often used word for mercy in the Old Testament doesn't even mean mercy. It's a compound word in English meaning mercy tent. It was the place where Moses and Joshua and all of the people met with the Lord. And so I'm looking at this and I'm saying, well, that's not the word for this year. It's mercy for me. If you remember what Dutch Sheets has been hearing from the Lord, this year in particular, mercy becomes the new currency for us as we intercede. We are to spend our mercy on those who trespass against us. We're to spend our mercy on the nations we're praying for. You have unlimited currency in the kingdom. So where are you going to pour out your mercy? How are you going to display your mercy? I love how Father puts things together, because I didn't know what he put on Ron's heart for worship. He didn't know what he put on my heart for a message. If we are truly in Christ, then we're in the Father, and we represent his heart. We represent who he is. I even briefly touched on a story in Numbers chapter 16 at Korah's rebellion. You know the story? Korah and a gang of Levites decided that they too heard from God, so they challenged the leader, the apostolic head, Moses. Aaron was the first apostolic leader in the church realm. Moses was the first in every other mountain. He was the man. How many of you know that when you go up against the Lord's anointed, you're in a very precarious position? So Korah was really brave. He took a couple hundred others with him. All leaders. Isn't that interesting? The ones whose hearts should have been most open and yielded to the Lord were the ones that had heart issues. Isn't that what we let him deal with tonight, our hearts? And so they go up and they challenge Moses, and so Moses pulls out the rule book, right? Not. He falls on his face. That's the best place to be. Because as soon as he humbled himself, that would have been one of the words in my message tonight. As soon as he humbled himself, the Lord gave him a strategy. We don't see that conversation taking place in number 16, but we hear it in the very next stanza when he addresses their rebellion. They weren't rebelling against Aaron and Moses. They were rebelling against the Most High God. Do you know all of the people that are rebelling, whining, and whatever else you want to call it, against the transition in the government that took place right now, aren't rebelling against Trump and Pence. They're not rebelling against a system. They're rebelling against the Most High God. Is that biblical? Who puts kings in place? I will elevate one, I will put down another. we have a unique opportunity in this country in that we get to voice our opinion as to who should be in that place. And our founding fathers were so wise in the wisdom of the Spirit of God when they set up our governmental structure that they created something that I've always not liked until this year, because I never understood it, the Electoral College. Do you know what the Electoral College was created for? It was created so that one huge center of population could not control whatever the entire nation would be. Do you know it was only 13 little colonies on the East Coast? And it spread across the continent. Oh, by the way, most of our border is in Alaska, geographically mile-wise. And then a few islands out somewhere in the middle of nowhere. They didn't know all of that was going to happen. But they said that there will be a group of people who will vote for what the representatives of all of the population determine. So if this little group here and this little group here and this little group here sounds like little Indians, doesn't it? Sorry. Or this little heart. We all have a voice. You know what's sad? Is that half of the body of Christ isn't even registered to vote. Half of those who say they are born again or that Jesus is their Lord don't even take advantage of the ability to determine who the authority is going to be. Hillary won the popular vote. Depending which publications you read and how many extras are added on by the media, somewhere between 1.5, I believe it's about 1.75 to 2 million, to 2.1 million votes she won the popular vote by. There's 62 counties in New York State. She won 16 of them. There's 5 counties in New York City. She won 4 of them. She won those 4 total of New York City by 2 million votes. She won less than 5% of the land mass of the United States. And the Electoral College, by the wisdom of God, over 200 years ago, was put in place to keep something from happening that he knew he had a Cyrus for this hour. He is number 45. Barack was number 44. Donald is number 45. When you have the opportunity, read Isaiah 45. He is the Isaiah 45 president. It's all about Cyrus and how the Lord was going to use him to restore the temple. Now, I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but God has a purpose for this moment in time that you and I are allowed to breathe on the earth. So, Korah decides he's going to rebel against God's elect. Dathan and Abiram decide they're going to join him. That's the point that Ivan made. Get out of their tents. Don't be near them. But I want to talk about Chesed. It's not even in this chapter. Moses was an intercessor. From his face, he cried out to the Lord every time the Lord said, Moses, come on, I'm going to wipe them all out and I'm going to make you much greater than they. Could God have done that? After all, he took 70 that went down into Egypt and brought out over 3 million. We know that the men that were over 20, actually they were over 40, were 670 plus thousand, plus all of the ones under, and all of the women, and the Egyptians that chose to go with them. Do you know that the body of Christ, if they're the prototype, at that time was already one new man, Jew and Gentile, walking together. Anyone who put the blood on their door was set free that night. And some of the Egyptians chose to leave Egypt because they saw the power of the Most High God deliver their family from losing their firstborn. Moses cried out and told them what they needed to do. He got the strategy of heaven. In verse 19 of chapter 16 of Numbers, we read, "Thus Korah assembled all the congregation." Yo, people in Rochester and New York State, come together and listen to what I want to tell you. Instead of listening to what Father has to say. He gathered all the congregation against them, meaning Moses and Aaron, at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. What would we do if the glory of the Lord came down? First of all, I wouldn't be talking. We'd all be on our faces, or we might be toast. Verse 20 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses." See, he said something in the next verse that I think displays the cassette of his heart, the loving kindness, the mercy, the goodness of God that's not mentioned there, but he gave me the option of the cross right here. "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly." In other words, you've heard my voice. Here's my compassion. Step out. Get away from the admixture that they're trying to bring. See, if I want to go to war, I can't carry the ways of the flesh and the world with me. I will be wearing a target on my back for the enemy if I take anything other than the holiness of the Lord. Ivan touched on verse 24, where the Lord spoke to Moses again, saying, "Speak to the congregation, get back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." How many of you want to do exploits in the name of the Lord? Isn't that what the book of Daniel says? Those who know their God will do exploits. Moses knew Jehovah. He didn't yet know his name, other than I am. Joshua and the next generation got to know his name. The Lord gave Moses, and we don't see it until Moses speaks, the strategy of what he's going to do. Do you know the power and the authority that you have in your words because you know the loving kindness of the Father and you walk with him and you know the identity that you have in him? When we're overseas, I'm very careful what I say. I try to be in the States too, because they think I'm prophesying. And many times I am. But if I say something that is not a prophecy, in case he can tell you, I will say, "I am not prophesying." I want them to know that this is me speaking, not the one who speaks through me. So Moses gets this revelation once again on his face before the Lord. And he hears the heart of the Father. "I've heard your intercession. I will spare 600 plus thousand men and the women and the children, but get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Now that doesn't get said anywhere till Moses speaks, and he speaks this word: if they die a normal death, then you know that I have not heard God. But if they do not die the way all men die, then you know God has moved. If they die because the earth opens it up and swallows them, that had never happened before, and closes back over them, then you know God has spoken. So Korah and his little group are over before the tent, ready to offer strange fire to the Lord. They had their fire pans, their censers, their incense. And the challenge that the Lord gave Korah, this is the leader of the rebellion, Dathan and Abiram were just his sidekicks. So there by their tents, Moses tells everyone, get away from them. The Israelites backed away for a moment. The earth swallows Dathan and Abiram, all of their families, all their tents, all their possessions. It's like being right here in the center. It opens up. They fall in, screaming and yelling, I'm sure. It closes over, and it's quiet. Meanwhile, back at the altar, Korah and all of those with him try to put their bronze censers with false fire. See, you can carry a little bit of the flesh with you, but Holy Spirit, okay, I'm going to get into a little chemistry now. You know, when a flame burns and it's bright blue, it's because it's pure oxygen and fuel burning. And when it's mixed with a little bit of anything, it changes color. Usually it's yellow. And so here are these people going to offer what they think is the offering of the Lord from a rebellious heart. And all of a sudden the fire of the Lord consumes them and their offering, but not their censer. The Lord accepts Aaron's offering. And then he tells Aaron, you go in and mix the fire. And some translations say the rubble. And pull out their bronze censers and nail them to the altar so that it will be a testimony to anyone in the future. Bronze speaks of man doing it my way. The Tower of Babel was man's attempt to get to heaven without God. As Ivan and Linda told us, it was Lucifer's plan to get us out of God's plan. Building that tower was our attempt to make it to the heavens without having to have God and his rules. Dathan and Abiram and Korah wanted to have the presence of the Lord as something that witchcraft could control and manipulate. You know, whenever I try to minister with a tainted heart, that's control and manipulation. That's allowing Jezebel to kill the prophetic anointing. God's mercy was so rich that he gave Moses an out. Moses said, but that's not good enough for who you are. Do you know who Father is? Do you know his loving kindness, his chesed, his mercy and his goodness? So much so that you can do anything in Christ that represents Father. Jesus would do nothing without seeing the Father do it or hearing the Father say it. Are we ready to be there? Because when we are, then the Moses anointing to be able to humble ourselves in the moment of intense opposition and hear a strategy of mercy. Lord, don't consume Rochester. Okay, but call my children out from among them. There's been a call in this region for the last 6 years to the body of Christ to be separate. Not isolationists, But to have that relationship with Father that is so intimate that it was like Jesus every day, he wouldn't go out until he heard. This is what I heard this morning. Or we may even get an anointing such that we're not moving in the way Moses did, but we may be moving in the way that Daniel did. Or Joseph did. Or Ruth did. See, Ruth was one of the Gentiles in the lineage of Christ. She was a Moabite. And she so honored her covenant with an Israelite that when he died and she could be set free from her covenantal vow because there was no son to marry her so she could carry on the lineage, she chose to be with Naomi. The scripture said that she clung to or she clove to Naomi. It was a picture of us clinging to Jesus, not for dear life, but for the pure joy of honoring him. And in that, her sister Orpah blew her mom a kiss, her mother-in-law a kiss, and went back to the Moabite ways, went back to the ways of the world. For the past 7 years, we've had crossroad years in this Ayin decade. Every Ayin year looks like a huge Y, is a crossroad. Ruth's sister chose to go back the way of the world. Ruth chose to pursue the way of holiness. Why was it holiness? Because it was honoring the covenantal generational agreement. Both of them were widows across two generations. And out of that, you know the story that she met Boaz and Boaz begat Jesse through Ruth and then David and eventually Jesus. Are we in this hour going to be Ruths that cling to the one who is our hope, or are we going to allow the world to just a little bit taint us? As we move through these next 3 years, that's going to become a clearer and clearer decision. There will be less gray at the crossroad. There will be a brighter light or an agreement with darkness. I won't be able to hide my decision anymore. Ivan and Linda talked about it this morning. They said, you cannot enter into spiritual warfare if you're on the fence, if you have a divided heart, if you have an impure motive, because the enemy has you already. Or are we going to be an Esther? Esther, like Moses, was an intercessor. Esther had the preparation of the world. 6 months of the best beauty treatments, 6 months of social organizational talents and how to the best self-help teachers in the world. Actually, the Bible tells us she had the best of the eunuchs helping her. There was favor on her. She knew who she was. She was Mordecai's cousin. She knew, as an orphan, that this was the one who raised her like an uncle. And she obeyed what he asked her to do. Tell no one who you are. Do you so know who you are that you can live for Christ? And those around you will see his beauty, taste his goodness, experience his glory, and they'll say, like what happened to Ivan and Linda in one place, the teenagers walked up to him and say, how do I get to know Jesus? Can you so live for him no matter what's going on around you, that the world sees there's something unique about you and they start to ask you. That's what happened with Esther. When it came the time for her people to be wiped out by the Amalekites, that's what Haman was, the tribe that Saul was supposed to completely obliterate. See what happens when leaders don't obey the voice of the Lord? Now he had the edict of the king of Persia to kill every Jew in the Persian Empire. That was the whole known world at the time. And Mordecai talked to Hadassah. Her name in Hebrew means the sweet smell of myrtle. The fragrance of the Lord should be on us as intercessors. And she said, but if I go into the king, I die. And he said, if you don't go into the king, we all die. We're all in that place. If we won't approach the king for those in our community, those in our state, those in our nation, those in our people groups, those in the nations the Lord has put on our hearts, we all die. So she called a 3-day fast. It's coming up soon. The fast of Esther. When we will seek the Lord, he will put such a mantle of favor on us. It wasn't the preparation of the world and all of the social correct things that she knew to do that gave her favor with the king. It was the glory of his presence because she humbled herself before him, sought his face, and prayed. No, there wasn't a 2 Chronicles 7:14 in her day. But the principle has been eternal. And favor was extended her, not to undo the law, but to write new laws. The last 12 days have been a rapid flurry of new laws. Because someone had the audacity to pray, to cry out to the Lord for something new. Now, I personally believe that Donald Trump will be a powerful, spirit-filled believer by the time he leaves the White House. That's my personal belief. We have to stop looking at where people fellowship, how they worship. We need to look at who they are, how they carry the presence of the King of Glory. It's what Esther did, into the presence of the king in the natural realm. Every one of those people experienced the chesed of God. That's my word for this year. For me, this is the chesed of God for me. His goodness and loving kindness for me. She doesn't have to have that word this year because she's got a mercy gift. I don't. So I need to understand those things. Am I telling a story? I'm telling the truth. See, if we will do what Moses did, know what the Lord's plan is. So, I'm not going to tell the whole story. Someone asked me a question today. What is my opinion? Well, doesn't matter much. Let's see what the manufacturer's handbook has to say. Will I look to see what the word of the Lord is for me for today? How will I make it through? I have found answers to every issue in life. Do you know why tithing, giving, first fruits, and all of that is so important? First, it's an expression of our heart, love, and worship toward the Father. Second, it's an expression of what the land brought forth to us. In their day, it was through them. Every offering came out of the land. Now we exchange our land, by the way, we came out of the land, with Adam. And so are we willing to give back the best? It's an attitude of my heart. That's all. And Father sees that, and he honors that. He's challenging me again on my giving. The last time he did that, I started praying 2 hours and 24 minutes a day before I left home. That's a tithe of one day. So that I could be a joyful giver the next time I prayed or ministered to someone, it was beyond the tenth. That was what he told me to do. So that my days, looking back 30 plus years, my days were ordered according to what he wanted, not according to my schedule. There was one time where he said, I want you to spend 5 hours in my presence before you do any work today. It was a Saturday, the only day I have to do anything. When we first moved into our house and I had this old 16 horsepower tractor that could barely make it up the hill. And I had to keep working on it, working on it, working on it. I finally blew a rod through the side of the engine, not that day. And our grass was getting taller and taller. And I grew up in a Lutheran church. And he reminded me of something that Martin Luther said about spending time with the Lord. He said, when I have a busy schedule, I spend even more time with the Lord before I start my schedule. I said, okay, God, if he can do it, I can give you the time you asked for. By the time I got home to do work that Saturday morning, I had spent 5.5 hours with the Lord, and I got to pray on my tractor. It was the only time that tractor never broke down. It took 5 hours to mow my yard. It was the first time it never broke down in the 5 hours. Father was teaching me how to do things the way he wants them done. That's what the story with Moses is. How to war on his terms. How would you like to war like that, where you so know the Father that you can say the ground is going to open up and swallow all of those who will continue to walk in rebellion. All the rest of you step aside. Would you like to have that personal relationship? That's what communion was about tonight. That's what I want to pray for you about. Is that you will so know what Father's asking you to do. Not me, not Lisa, not Casey, not Tina, not anybody, not Mason, no one. Except you. When he asks you to do it, you know that you've heard the Father. And you don't have to worry about when, because he will give you the when you are at the tents of Dathan and Abiram. You know the ground's going to open up because God said it was. It's just like the war stories that Ivan and Linda were telling us. They knew exactly what was going to be happening. How is that person going to be healed? God said he was going to be healed. That comes from an intimate place of intercession with the Lord. That's how I want to pray for us tonight. Lord, I thank you that you have called us to be pursuers of your presence with passion. I ask, Lord, that you would take those things that are in each of our lives that allow our sensors to be brass instead of bronze, to be bronze instead of gold, and that you would remove them because you love us. I ask, Lord, that you would cause our hearts to release those things that have held us back, either because of the things of our generations or the things of our society, or the things of the organizations we are a part of. I ask that you would liberate us in your love, that we would be so free to be the men and women of God you've created us to be, that not only we, but our sons and daughters and our children's children and their children would see your love, and they would move in exponentially increased authority and love. Lord, I ask that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, olfactory senses to smell, a mouth to taste, and our entire body to sense the glory and the beauty and the sweetness of your presence. Lord, I ask you to make us acutely aware of your presence so that we will not go to war until we hear you say, go this way, and know that your angels are already there before we get there. Father, I thank you that you give my brothers and sisters rest this weekend. Lord, that you refresh them in your presence and that your glory settle upon them. I ask that you give them authority to speak the things you reveal to them in the time you want it released, so that your word and your timing bring your anointing that breaks the yoke. And I thank you that you have already done it, in Jesus' name. I love you all.